Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, we've had some hot days and we've had some cool days and some mild nights and some cool nights. Mary Schmick talks about the hot ones in a column she wrote, a little poem. The heat, it has a beat. Did you hear the news about the Metro memo and this pension fiasco? Oh, I forgot, it's just too hot. Poetically, Mary shares with us, the heat is back, the heat, amazing heat. So I repeat, the heat is back, like dragon's breath. Oh, will we all be scorched to death? This furnace blast we call a breeze is so darn hot it makes you wheeze. The lake is like a tepid stew, and sweat rolls down your icy brew. Your butt is sticking to the chair, and let's not even mention hair. The heat is back. Can we survive a heat index of 105? Yes, yes, I know there's bigger news to give our heated hearts the blues. Yes, we could talk of pension plans, of cheats and frauds and madigans, or whether we might love or hate a new boss daily in this state. Or ads on Wrigley's ancient clock. Now that idea is such a crock. We could discuss the RTA and business the Chicago way. I know we could, but let us not. For people, it is just too hot. A sidewalk here could fry a peach. It's hotter here than in Palm Beach. The heat is back. The garden droops. And just the brave sit out on stoops. The soggy sheets, the wilting trees, the sweat that pools behind your knees. From house to house, the AC roars so noisy that it shakes the doors. Folks lock themselves in icy rooms as dim and cold as clammy tombs. Too hot to work out in their yards, they hide indoors with House of Cards. This heat can warp the brain, and even sunny folks complain. They're so dang hot, they cannot eat, they cannot Facebook, text, or tweet. They're so dang hot, they need a nap, they just can't stand this humid. The heat is back, like every year, and every year we quake in fear, as if the heat will make us die. Well, when, folks, when really, folks, it's just July. July, when days are long with light and evenings melt to gentle night. July, when summer's sticky sweet, and we forget. You know, someday we're going to miss this heat. Maybe not in August, though, from Mary Schmick. Very clever, a little Shakespearean verse there about the heat or the cool, which is coming up, but we'll see. But it has been nice. Dining al fresco, dining in the outside, and enjoying the so many restaurants. Everybody has an outdoor cafe. Everybody has somewhere to dine and enjoy themselves outside. And one of the fun things to do outside is to see a little theater. And the great group called Midsummer Flight presents William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Our good friend Beth Wolf from Midsummer Flight. And we'll share this with you. Midsummer Flight will bring free Shakespeare in the Park back to the North Side this summer with the beloved tragedy Romeo and Juliet opening at the end of July. Dedicated to presenting outdoor performances of Shakespeare's plays, Midsummer Flight is proud to produce the play as an arts partner with the Chicago Park District. The play is directed by Midsummer Flight founder and producing artistic director Beth Wolf. "We've been having so much fun rehearsing out in the parks again this year," says Wolf. "We can't wait to share Shakespeare's beautiful and passionate story of young love with audiences later this summer." All performances will be presented free of charge, although donations are gratefully accepted. In addition, live music will be presented a half hour prior to each performance. Musical guests include guitarist and singer David Fink, folk duo Duck and Goose, guitarist and singer Morgan Foster of Common Shiner, and musician Andrew Sa, among others. Audiences are encouraged to come early and bring a picnic to enjoy this free programming. Performances run from July 27th through August 18th, on Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at 2. Performance on July 27th, 28th, and August 3rd and 4th will be at Schreiber Park, 1552 West Schreiber, at the northwest end of the park along Clark Street. Performances on August 10th and 11th and 17th and 18th will be at Toohey Park, 7348 North Palina, in the southeast grove along Palina Street. Midsummer Flight is a Chicago theater company dedicated to producing outdoor performances of Shakespeare's plays. After the company's well-received inaugural production of A Midsummer Night's Dream in 2012, the Chicago City Council honored Midsummer Flight with a resolution praising the Midsummer Flight theater troupe and their dedication to bringing the arts to underserved communities. The community incorporated as a not-for-profit in the state of Illinois in February 2013. So for more information, please visit www.midsummer, which is spelled M-I-D-S-O-M-M-E-R, flight, F-L-I-G-H-T.com, and get some information. Beth does a terrific job, and if you need to reach her, 847-644-9458. Another great group of people who are doing wonderful things for theater in Chicago. She certainly is doing that. A lot of fun. Well, we're going to continue the Shakespeare theme because Chicago Shakespeare Theater launches the 2013 tour of Chicago Shakespeare in the Parks at Eckerd Park. Chicago Shakespeare in the Parks will bring performances of the Comedy of Errors free for all to 18 neighborhood parks across Chicago through August 25th. To put us in the spirit, I thought we'd enjoy a little Beach Boys, one of my favorites from their classics in the 60s, Wouldn't It Be Nice? And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Yeah.
Beach Boys, Wouldn't It Be Nice. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. One of the fun things about hosting my radio show is having the opportunity of making the acquaintance of some very interesting, talented, and fascinating people. And my next very special guest is just such a person. She's an award-winning entertainer who has spoken to us through her music and performances worldwide. We are all familiar with her work because the songs that she has sung have become standards that speak to each of us and just simply touch our hearts. She's an award-winning cabaret vocalist who, as Life magazine writes, is one of the finest practitioners of the intimate art of cabaret. Andrea has performed at such nationally well-known clubs as the Oak Room at the Algonquin Hotel in New York, Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, and the White House. She is the recipient of the Mabel Mercer Foundation's prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award and the Backstage Bistro Award. In addition, Andrea is also an award-winning and nationally recognized star of stage, screen, and television. She has appeared numerous times in hit Broadway shows and such popular television series as Sybil, Hill Street Blues, Magnum P.I., and Trapper John, M.D. The woman whose distinctive vocal virtuosity has personified the essence of excellence in entertainment and song, called the greatest cabaret star of her generation by the International Herald Tribune, star of screen, stage, and concert, and recording star Andrea Macrovici will be making a special concert appearance at Chicago's premier venue for music, Davenport's, 1383 North Milwaukee. Joined by her acclaimed music director and pianist, Shelley Markham, Andrea's new show, Moonlight Cocktail, celebrates that bygone era of sophisticated nightlife of dining and dancing. From coast to coast, from large clubs to intimate bois, the Mocambo, Hungry Eye in San Francisco, Palmer House and Mr. Kelly's in Chicago, the Stork Club and the Blue Angel in New York, the singers that enthralled you became household names. Mabel Mercer, Bobby Short, Julie Wilson, Hildegard, Portia Nelson, and Billie Holiday. Andrea's nostalgic spin through the 40s and 50s when an evening began at one club before winding down with fine champagne at another is filled with her unique insight, charm, and wit. Highlights include You Fascinate Me So, All in Fun, Talk of the Town, Some Other Time, as well as the delicious title song, Moonlight Cocktail. The show has already been performed to critical and audience acclaim on the West Coast top venues in Hollywood and San Francisco. The six special performances will take place Wednesday, July 31st through Monday, August 5th at 8 and Sunday, August 4th at 7. Due to the high demand, reservations are recommended by calling 773-278-1830 or visiting davenportspianobar.com. This will give Chicago audiences a unique opportunity to experience the magic that Markovici weaves with audiences in an intimate setting. And it's both an honor and pleasure to welcome Andrea Markovici. Andrea, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Wow. Could you start my day every day?
That's better than coffee, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I think I'm not going to need that extra cup of coffee today, Kevin.
How you doing, kiddo?
Better now.
Well, you're making your annual pilgrimage back to Chicago, and there's been one complaint, though, Andrea.
What?
I have to share it with you.
What?
You don't come back often enough.
Well, maybe not. Not when you talk to me that way. Ooh, got my blood boiling. I love Chicago.
Chicago loves you. You know that.
I mean, it was really one of the. You know that in my life. It was one of the very first places that I ever went to work, separate from New York.
Really?
I started coming to Chicago in the very early 70s when I came to do Dance on a Country Grave.
You were only 16 then.
Arlington Park Theater.
You were 16 years old in the 70s.
Oh, yes,
what are you talking about?
Thank you very much. I was 16.
You know,
I was 4 years old, and I was a child actress in that wonderful show.
Of course, I remember that.
Yeah.
Some of the names, the Hungry Eye in San Francisco, the Palmer House and Mr. Kelly's in Chicago, the Store Club, the Blue Angel, those are great old places, huh?
Well, these are places that are named in my show because the people I'm giving tribute to, Bobby Short and Mabel Mercer and Portia Nelson and Billie Holiday and Hildegard, they traveled the country. I mean, in the great days of nightclubs of the 40s and 50s, there were clubs everywhere in the country for...
Yeah.
A person like myself to go and play. There were circuits. I mean, a person like Hildegard was on the road 45 weeks a year.
Wow.
And the last time I was at the Empire Room of the Palmer House when we were doing the cabaret convention in Chicago, there was a huge picture of Hildegard in the dressing room. It was so exciting.
Those were heady days.
Just one nightclub. You know, right now, for a cabaret artist, not a jazz artist, but a cabaret artist, there's one nightclub in Chicago.
You know,
there used to be dozens of nightclubs in every single
city.
And we're a little sparser. I mean, cabaret never dies, but it's sparser than it was in the 40s and 50s. So what I'm tributing is just an era where dining and dancing just was everywhere, and you could stay out all night.
People still, you dream about this sometimes. You know, you'd like to go out to a nice place, listen to such a talented person as yourself, have a couple martinis, and dress up, put a tuxedo on during the week for no other reason than putting a tuxedo on during the week.
Well, I wouldn't turn you away if you want to wear a tuxedo.
I like wearing a tuxedo. I really do.
And, you know, people look gorgeous when they dress up in tuxedo and a cocktail dress, which would be very appropriate coming to Davenport to see Moonlight Cocktail. It would be very appropriate. I've heard something about the Green Mill, you know. Some people are going dancing at the Green Mill. There's swing nights. So this could all come back.
And that's very close to Davenport's, too.
Yeah, so maybe you could come see me and then go to the Green Mill.
You're going to start the evening out for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a late getting to work the next day.
Well, I know. I mean, it is true that we tend to think that we don't have the power to stay up as late as we used to, but who knows?
Got to try it once in a while.
That's what coffee's for.
How do you choose the themes for your show, and how do you choose the songs that you sing in those shows? Is that you and Michelle getting together, and you're just kind of feeling some way?
I get inspiration from so many crazy places. Originally, this show, I wanted to go back and re-tribute Mabel Mercer, and then I was made aware that there was going to be a Mabel and Bobby tribute, and then I decided, well, I'm going to go with Mabel and Bobby and Hildegard and Portia and on and on. And then I realized that so much of the music was between the 40s and 50s, I decided to add my parents to it and dining and dancing, and then all of the songs start filtering in. I do a lot of research. I do a lot of reading. There was a magnificent book, Intimate Nights, that I read that had a lot to do with finding great stories. And, you know, it can be just something I'm reading in a book that sparks my fancy. It can be something I've been longing to do for a very long time, and it's been on the back burner. I'm lucky that I haven't run out of themes. It's been 27 years.
And they're still coming.
But then the songs. I mean, each one of these people that I'm tributing had signature songs. So I'm looking through their repertoire. For instance, Bobby Short. I mean, I can really remember him singing I'm in Love Again. Hildegard sang Darling, Je vous aime beaucoup. Portia Nelson personally gave me the song I'm singing, I Don't Smoke. When I went through Julie Wilson's repertoire, I listened carefully to many, many different albums, and I just personally fell in love with Don't Look at Me That Way. It just cracked me up. I needed and wanted the humor. And then her most recent manager sent me one of her boas to use.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I got an actual boa from her own collection. And it just, there was a song of Mabel Mercer's that I had sung for, you know, almost 20 years called Goodbye John. It flows so wonderfully, but it takes the better part of 9 months to put together any show.
Wow.
You know, so I feel it's a birthing process.
I'll
name the show George.
There you go. Are your mom and dad still alive?
My mother is very much alive.
Yeah?
She's 94 years old.
Oh, God bless her.
And just recently when I was at the Carlisle, she sang every Thursday.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
My mother was a singer in the 40s, and
really?
My mother has been singing recently during my career. She's been singing with me whenever she gets a chance. She raises those arms at the end of her song, and she gets a standing ovation instantly.
So you grew up with this. Sometimes. You grew up with this.
I grew up with my mother singing and my father dancing.
Mm-hmm.
My father was called the Waltz King of New York Cafe Society.
Really?
Yeah, he was famous for waltzing. And brilliantly so. And they were a team, my mother and father, dancing at the Stork Club in the El Morocco. They were photographed everywhere they went.
Wow.
Yeah, they were ravishing dancers. And people would just kind of clear the floor when my parents were dancing.
So as an early age, you kind of had an affinity towards this life and this lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I grew up seeing my parents getting dressed to go out dancing, and then they'd come home and tell me about it, or they would actually take me. They took me to the Persian Room, the Empire Room, and the St. Regis Maisonette when I was a little girl. What was left of this when I was little,
mm-hmm.
I still got to see.
Who were some of the people that you aspired to as you were young, Andrea, that you enjoyed going to see, that you would go out of your way to enjoy their shows?
When I was little, don't forget, that came in the folk era.
Mm-hmm.
Started to come in. So I actually got to see Joni Mitchell before she was Joni Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
And that was pretty exciting. The person I most admired was Judy Garland.
Uh-huh.
But I can't say that my mother took me to see her. I think we actually saw Shirley Bassey at the Waldorf. And I saw Xavier Cugat, which was very exciting for me.
Well,
my mother knew all the band leaders because of their dancing. And I remember when I was a tiny little girl, the band leader came over and said, "When are you going to sing? Are you going to sing for us today?" And I actually thought it was serious. I can still remember the chill that crossed over my entire body. And I said to Mommy, "Mommy, what am I supposed to sing? Am I really going to sing?" Because Emil Coleman, the famous band leader, had said to me, "I'm not going to sing."
Oh, that's fun. You know, you mentioned Xavier Cugat. I had Charo on my show, and what a delightful woman she is.
Yes, they say so.
Oh, she is a hoot. I mean, she's just...
She's really fun.
Oh, she's full of energy and...
Put on the dumbness.
Oh, not at all. No.
That girl.
No, very talented guitarist, too.
Oh,
flamenco,
yes.
Guitarist. Very interesting.
I remember that wonderful flap about her changing her age illegally, which I thought was hilarious. Let's all do that.
All the fun times, the hotels, and certainly the clubs that you've experienced in and around the nation. Do you see, did that travel to Europe, Andrea, or did what happened in Europe come back to the United States? Did we bring that society type of life, what would you say, during the F. Scott Fitzgerald period and so forth, that expatriate period, is that what that was brought to Europe where they were able to appreciate this kind of music?
Europe has always had a love affair with American music. And certainly in the Cole Porter years, you know, they embraced him completely. And they embraced the authors and... You know, Bobby Short, when he had trouble getting the appreciation that he deserved, he went and seasoned himself over in Paris. And then he came back, and he came back. It was indeed to, I believe, the Blue Angel. The first time he did the Blue Angel for a month, they said that he showed that he had potential.
Really? Well, they were right about that.
He had potential, but he went to Paris to get some seasoning, and then when he came back to America, that's when he was able to get that incredible job at the Carlisle, because George Fair took a couple of weeks off, and he was able to replace George Fair, and then he stayed there for the next 35 years.
Wow, that's something.
But yes, I mean, European... The especially in Paris, you know, they still celebrate the American popular song as much as they ever have.
What's your favorite place in Europe to perform?
Well, I've always been happy in London. There's a new place now. I haven't been there yet, but it's called the Crazy Cox, and it's doing very, very well. I used to sing at Pizza on the Park. I have never performed in Paris.
Really?
But, you know, never say never.
Wow.
Never say never.
Oh, I can't imagine not knocking them out if you go to Paris.
In Barcelona, which I thought was perhaps one of the most extraordinary things I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, what can we expect for your visit here?
Well, my cocktail is really a wonderful step back in time. It's a bit of a mood piece. You really feel like once it starts, you've really traveled somewhere. That's what everybody's telling me.
Mm-hmm.
They really feel as if the time just flies by and that they've really been somewhere. They've really been on a journey. And they feel transported back in time to this era of dining and dancing and marvelous songs from the era and wonderful stories that they visited with all of these people that I'm talking about. So Davenport's will be like a little time-space continuum capsule. You'll have a wonderful time. And you'll have your cocktails and your music, and it's a perfect place for it because I love Davenport. There's no bad seat in the house, and it's a great place to do this kind of music.
Very intimate setting, and I think the quality that you have as an entertainer is so welcoming. I think that's one word that certainly encompasses what you do. When people are in the audience and you're on the stage, it really feels more like we're all in a living room together and you're kind of sharing your talents with all of us. And
that's what's so great about Davenport,
yeah.
Because the furthest seat away is about 13 feet.
Right.
And the closest one, thank goodness they're not dentists, because they could tell me a thing or two about what's happening. That molar on the left could use a little work.
But even geographically, the distance can be more if you're not an entertainer who is so outgoing to the audience, and you so much are. And I think that's what makes a difference. You surely have a passion for what you do.
Master classes at Davenport's too, and when performers are given the training that they're supposed to, sing to the back wall, it's the exact opposite training of what they're supposed to do, which is to be completely involved in your audience, directly into their eyes, not for very long. I mean, you don't want to make somebody uncomfortable as if they're on the spot, but the truth is they need to be sung to and welcomed, and you should really, I've always had a sense that I know what people are thinking and when they wish to be sung to and when they wish to be ignored, which member of the couple wants to be addressed and which member of the couple would like to be hidden. I've always seemed to know. Some part of me thinks that I inherited that from my father's doctoring abilities.
Uh-huh.
That as a doctor, he always knew how to appreciate the patient. And that there's something very healing about singing, and that if you have that naturally, that's a gift. It's not something you can necessarily study. It's something that maybe you inherited, and that is gift is the only word for it.
Certainly something we're looking forward to. Called the greatest cabaret star of her generation by the International Herald Tribune, star of screen, stage, concert, and recording star Andrea Markovici will be making a special concert appearance at Chicago's premier venue for music, Davenport's, 1383 North Milwaukee. The 6 special performances will take place Wednesday, July 31st through Monday, August 5th at 8 and Sunday, August 4th at 7. Due to the high demand.
There's a special performance that Shelley's doing on Sunday afternoon. My musical director has a new album out, and he's performing on Sunday. So they should look that up as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be great fun.
Shelley, very talented man, very talented not only pianist, but songwriter also.
Songwriter, yes.
Right. Due to the high demand, reservations are recommended by calling 773-278-1830 or visiting davenportspianobar.com. This will give Chicago audiences a unique opportunity to experience the magic that Markovici weaves with audiences in an intimate setting. Well, my dear, as I said before, it's always a pleasure to spend some time chatting with you, and from myself and all our listeners, as I said a little earlier, thank you for sharing your unique talents with all of us.
Thank you.
Certainly looking forward to the first week of August for our annual a pilgrimage from Andrea Markovici, and enjoying a great couple evenings.
Well, I couldn't be more pleased to talk to you. As I said, you really are more than a cup of coffee. You're a drug, you are.
And maybe dancing afterwards.
Oh, yes, that's a great idea. Let's get that all started.
Safe travels to Chicago, kiddo.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrea.
Bye.
Bye, dear. Andrea Markovici, very, very talented lady. Going to be in Chicago for 6 special performances, Wednesday, July 31st through Monday, August 5th at 8 and Sunday, August 4th at 7. For information, 773-278-1830. DavenportsPianoBar.com for some more information. Always fun chatting with Andrea, and she's here every year. As I said before, I wish she'd come more often. But as you said, it takes a long time to put a show together, and what great show she certainly shares with us. So it should be a lot of fun. And again, for information, 773-278-1830. Cirque Shanghai returns to Chicago's Navy Pier this summer with a magnificent new show, Cirque Shanghai Dragon's Thunder. The production will run through September 2nd, Labor Day, rain or shine, at the Navy Pier Pepsi Skyline Stage, the 1,500-seat canopied open-air theater on Navy Pier at 600 East Grand. Cirque Shanghai Dragon's Thunder is a spectacle for audiences of all ages, featuring performers direct from China who are leaders in their craft of tumbling, juggling, balancing, and more. With a total of 36 troupe members, Dragon's Thunder is the largest Cirque Shanghai cast to ever visit the United States. And on the line with us right now is a producer in the world-renowned entertaining group, International Special Attractions, the world leader in the production of large-scale special attractions, events, and theatrical productions, professional actor, singer, comedian, and now the executive producer in what has become an annual Chicago summertime tradition, Cirque Shanghai, and this year's show, Dragon's Thunder, at the Navy Pier Skyline Stage, 600 East Grand, through September 2nd, Labor Day, Mr. Jonathan Sanford. Jonathan, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Well, thanks for having me back, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got some exciting things going on there.
You know what? It's never a dull day here in California. Never a dull day. We just got evacuated from our building because there's a bomb threat on our block.
But the show still goes on, right?
The show must go on, guys. That's right.
Well, of course, you have a great show this year at Navy Pier, as you do every year. And like I said in the introduction, Jonathan, it's become a tradition now, having Cirque Shanghai come to Chicago.
You know, it really has. We really enjoy the venue, and we enjoy coming to Chicago every single year. We always feel very welcome. The response is very, very good for the show. And we keep getting good reviews, which is always a plus. Even though people have kind of seen circus and they know somewhat of what to expect, we try to bring it a little bit different every single year so that the reviews keep coming back very positive for us.
Well, that's what it is, I think, Jonathan. You freshen it up, and even though you've seen one there the year before, people come back because the enthusiasm, the excitement, and certainly energy of the performers takes everybody in.
Absolutely. I mean, these guys really are top-notch at what they do, and every year we do try to bring a couple of new marquee acts to the show, stuff that if it has been seen in the past, maybe it hasn't been there for a while, and we try to add a new twist to it, which really helps.
Of course, this year we have the Chinese Flex Bar.
Yep.
The Gravity Swings and the awesome sounds of the traditional Chinese dragon drums.
Oh, yes. Those drums actually add a very new element for us. We've never added the live musical element to the show before. So having the drums is just, it really adds a certain thunder, if you will, to the motif of the show.
It's a heart-pounding experience, very much so. And
Absolutely. What
you enjoyed last year and we enjoy this year, only you've kind of expanded it, is this Globe of Death. And it returns, it's the motorcycle troupe, the Daredevil motorcycle troupe. And last year, or the year before, it was two, and then it was four. Now it's five motorcyclists riding at breakneck speeds around the steel globe. How do they do that?
Well, they do a lot of things that I would never, ever do. That's why I leave it to the professionals. Yeah, it's definitely one of the best acts, and we've had it for a few years now simply because it's always one of the most highly rated and anticipated things that people want to come and see at the show. And it is very cool when we get that fifth rider to come out there. And there's a little special surprise about who that is when they come out. I don't want to spoil it. You'll just have to see the show.
That's right. That's right. How do you go about preparing for a show? Do you start the day this ends on Labor Day? Do you recruit new people or new performers for the show from around the world?
It's funny you ask. We actually have already started our conversations with Navy Pier for what we're going to do next year and how we're going to try and make it even newer and even more different. And I'll tell you, if we get some of the things that we want to do to happen, it's going to be something that really has never before been seen in Chicago and will definitely change what the audiences can expect from Cirque Shanghai. But don't want to say too much more because that's the pie in the sky
hope
for the show.
There you go. Where do you get the performers from?
We get them from all over China. This particular troop, I believe they are from just outside of Shanghai, as was the troop last year. But this is a different troop than we had last year. There are a few performers that people who have been to our shows, they might recognize, such as the Comedy Bowl Kicker. He's sort of a standalone comedic act that we bring in to add that element to the show. But for the most part, the bulk of the troop are from a specific area in China, and we go throughout all of the different regions and provinces in China and audition various troops every year to see who can make the cut.
Why is that ethnic group kind of unique to what you do?
Well, you know, they have a lot of ability to start from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have national circus schools that are subsidized by the government. Well, they were subsidized by the government. Now they're starting to privatize as China sort of takes its own in the global competitive economy out there. So some of them are still government-sponsored, but some of them are privatized. But the government-sponsored ones, when they will have their leaders go to all of these villages out in China, and they will test the children,
uh-huh.
you know, at ages 4 to 8 or so, and see who's flexible, see who wants to do it, and if a particular child shows an aptitude for it, they can then enroll in the Chinese acrobatic school. And there's a large system. I can't really liken it to anything that's here in the U.S. because it is such a cultural thing for them that it's just kind of expected that several members of any particular village or town will go and do this. So they just do, and it's ingrained in the culture.
So they can make a decent living at it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What usually happens is we've had a couple of performers who, when they decide they don't want to be performers anymore, you know, 26, 27, I know the ripe old age of that, they will either become troop leaders themselves and either start their own troops, or they may go, like one of them that we just had a couple of years ago decided that she wanted to go to college, so she just went off and went to college. So they do have life after acrobatics, but for most of them it is a lifelong sort of commitment because they'll stay in the business in a different capacity, whether that be as a trainer or perhaps just someone who's taking care of the troops when they're on the road, because they do travel with sort of troop den mothers, if you will, that take care of their day-to-day needs when they're on the road.
How old are the kids?
They range in age from about 14 to, I think the oldest is 25 this year.
Uh-huh. So some do come back as teachers and with their own ideas to what to do.
Absolutely. I mean, we do have our own director, Miao Miao, who has been with the show for several years.
Right.
Now, and she's actually an ex-performer herself, and she was in Vegas and has performed in Vegas for years and years. But the troupe does bring their own teachers and trainers who work directly with Miao Miao. So when Miao Miao says, this is what my vision is for the show, this is what I want them to do, the trainers will say, right, I know the perfect combination of acrobats in this troupe to do that, or we might need to change that a little bit based upon the skill set of these particular people.
Kind of interesting, and certainly something that everybody enjoys coming back to see year in and year out. And like you say, you tweak it a little bit, you make it a little different, and there's always something new and exciting that people haven't seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we strive for.
Consult a Chinese zodiac chart and you will learn that the dragon symbolizes strength, health, harmony, and intelligence, and that those born under the sign tend to be vigorous, strong, self-confident, eccentric, fiery, intellectual, artistic, charismatic, and gifted with great powers. Catch Dragon's Thunder, the latest edition of Cirque Shanghai, the spectacle that has become a reliable rite of summer at Navy Pier's open-air Skyline Stage, and you will find a rapid-fire show that lives up to its astrological sign. In many ways, this is the strongest production to arrive within the confines of the brilliant red and gold entry gate that frames the proscenium stage. Cirque Shanghai returns to Chicago's Navy Pier this summer with a magnificent new show, Cirque Shanghai, Dragon's Thunder. The production will run through September 2nd, Labor Day, rain or shine, at the Navy Pier Pepsi Skyline Stage, the 1,500-seat canopied open-air theater on Navy Pier 600 East Grand. Cirque Shanghai, Dragon's Thunder is a spectacle for audiences of all ages, featuring performers direct from China who are leaders in their craft of tumbling, juggling, balancing, and more. With a total of 36 troop members, Dragon's Thunder is the largest Cirque Shanghai cast to ever visit the United States. And on the line with us right now is the producer of Cirque Shanghai, Dragon's Thunder, our good friend Jonathan Sanford. Jonathan, I'm going to give a phone number for people who would like to get some information, 800-745-3000. Going on till Labor Day, so we still got a little over a month or so to enjoy it. I always thank you for taking a little time to chat, and you got our interest peaked for what's going to happen next year, but we'll be back.
All right. That's what I like to hear. Thanks very much for having me, guys.
And listen, I hope you have a quieter week going forward than you did today.
I absolutely hope that as well. I got work to do.
There you go. Thank you, my pal.
All right, have a good one.
Jonathan Sanford, the producer of very exciting show, Cirque Shanghai Dragon's Thunder at the Navy Pier Skyline Stage, 600 East Grand through September 2nd, Labor Day. Very exciting time, and it's a little different than last year. We have the Chinese flex bar, the gravity swings, the dragon drums, and the one that fascinates everyone, which is the Globe of Death, the Wheel of Destiny, where these daredevil motorcyclists ride at breakneck speeds within a steel globe, which is kind of interesting. So, again, a lot of fun down at Navy Pier. For information, 800-745-3000. What are you doing for Madonna's birthday this year? It's been 4 years since Melissa Young performed her infamous Madonna show in the city of Chicago. Lucky Star, Madonna at 55, a birthday tribute starring Melissa Young, returns to Chicago. Melissa Young performs the music of America's most original artist, Madonna. Over 20 of Madonna's songs spanning her 30-year career get a musical makeover. Lucky Star is a tribute show that dares to ask such musical questions as, what if Madonna met Disney to revamp Papa Don't Preach? Or if the next hit show on Broadway was Material Girl, the musical? Jazz, country, swing, and even reggae all meet Madonna, America's most loved and hated pop icon. Nick Sulla will join Young this time around at the piano and with some new additional arrangements by the great Daryl Nitz of Chicago's longest-running cabaret show, The Nitz Howe Experience, will direct. Young's been seen all around town at Davenport's Hydrate, the Park West, 3160 and Drury Lane Water Tower, and out of town at the Dunes Resort, Don't Tell Mom in New York, the Duplex, and the Stonewall Inn. That's August 15th and 16th and 17th at 8 o'clock. Davenport's Cabaret, 1383 North Milwaukee. Doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 8. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning vocalist who has appeared at Davenport's, Drury Lane Water Tower, Park West, and the Bailiwick Theater. Nationally recognized entertainer who has been seen in New York and is a proud member of the Second City Conservatory. Singer, comedian, one of the brightest stars in the world of Chicago Cabaret. Now presenting her hit show, Lucky Star, Madonna at 55 and Beyond. A birthday celebration, August 15th, 16th, and 17th at 8 o'clock at Davenport's Cabaret, 1383 North Milwaukee. On the line with us right now is our good friend, Melissa Young. What do you say, kiddo?
Hey there, Mr. Kevin. How are you?
Well, terrific. Everybody's looking forward to the 15th, 16th, and 17th to celebrate with you Madonna's birthday.
Yes, it is a high holy day for me in this house. It's Madonna's birthday.
What fascinates you and all of us about Madonna?
I think the thing about Madonna is she's about to turn 55, and she's still going, and she constantly changes. And I have to say, it's not like she's the best vocalist in the world. She's not, and she will openly admit that, but wow, is she smart. She's such a smart lady and just continues to grow and change with the music scene. And, you know, I have a good friend who wants me to, you know, start talking about how Madonna should retire. And I'm like, why should she retire when she had the highest grossing tour of 2012?
Is that right?
Yeah, she was the highest grossing tour of 2012, her MDNA tour.
Wow. And she looks pretty good for herself at 55.
I mean, honestly, we should all look so good at 55.
Well, you do, but I'm getting older, so there's a difference.
Oh, you look pretty dandy yourself there, sir, in your sharp dresser to boot.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, this is so much fun because I think what you bring to the stage, Melissa, is unique to a lot of the performers in the world of Chicago Cabaret. It doesn't seem like you work hard at it. You bring fun to the stage. You bring a lot of lightness to what you do, and people enjoy that. People gravitate towards it.
Oh, I thank you so much. Well, a long time ago in New York, I saw a singer-songwriter named Stephen Lutvak. And I don't know if you've heard of him. He comes to town sometimes for the Humanities Festival, mm-hmm. and things like that. But I saw him a long time ago, and when I saw him, it really seemed like I was just sitting in his living room. And before I knew it, the show was over. And at that moment in time, I'm like, you know what? I'm a pretty wacky person. I love to have people over to my house. I want every single one of my shows to just seem like these people get to hang out. And they're hanging out with me. And we're just having a great time. And so because of that, I've always tried to strive towards just be who I am. And I tend to be a little on the wacky side. But that's entertaining for an hour. And I want you to blink and have it be like, oh, it's over. So I thank Stephen Lutzik for giving me that inspiration to always try and just be me and have it be normal. And normal for me does tend to be a little weird and wacky, but, you know, but just to make it seem like people are just hanging out with me in my house, even though we're at Davenport. You know?
Well, people have a good time with you because of who you are, you know, regardless of looking at someone and see how they perform on the stage. It's something innate in you that is welcoming. I had the opportunity a little early, as I mentioned, had Andrea Markovici on the show, who's going to be doing a show earlier in August at Davenport's. And one of the things we did say was that the intimacy of that space makes that feeling availability between the audience and the performer. And you do that. You bridge what could be a distance so very well, as does Andrea. And the idea is that it is like you're sitting in your own parlor or your living room and you're chatting. And I try to achieve the same thing as I do on my show, that people say, well, what do we talk about? What should I say? What questions are you going to ask? Well, it's going to be like we're sitting having a cup of coffee at your kitchen table. That's the kind of intimacy that you want. That's what people gravitate to. And that's why people gravitate towards what you do, Melissa.
Oh, yay. Yeah, that's definitely what I, and sure, Andrea is amazing. And she's a definite, like, she's the queen of that, you know? And you just really, and Davenport's is such a wonderful space that it's so intimate that, you know, even if, but I think that my goal is always, even if it was a huge space, to still make it seem that way, that we're still just, we're buddies, and we're going to talk about Madonna for an hour, and I'm going to sing some of her ditties, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So I agree. It's just, I think it's easier to just be yourself on stage. I think it's a lot of work to try and be somebody else. And that's the difference between, you know, like musical theater or theater and cabaret, is that, you know, that fourth wall comes down and you really get to see who these people are. And I'm certainly someone who's so open to that and open to, you know, I just enjoy my audiences and I really enjoy getting to know them. And I learned that from greats like Andrea and Stephen Lutzak and, you know, Joan Curto, she does that great too. And all of those folks, you know, they're just really honest people on stage. And it takes some bravery to do, but it's always what I'm going to strive for, because, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And what they do, it's great, you know. And so I strive towards the honesty and openness and vulnerability that those great folks have, and just continue the legacy for years to come.
What happens when you go out there and it's just not your evening? And you go out there and no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, no matter what you say, it ain't working. How do you regenerate yourself so you can go beyond that?
Well, I think for me, the thing that I do maybe a little differently is I always make sure I'm singing stuff that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I know I'm going to have a good time, even if the audience is like, this chick is out there. I don't care. So that way I can be like, you know what? You're not with me. And I just keep working. Mm-hmm. I keep working to get them with me. I keep working at it. And, you know, depending on who's at the piano, I can turn to them. And, like, Nick is at the piano this time around for Lucky Star, and it's going to be so much fun. And he and I have a nice little, you know, rapport together. And I feel like, you know, if I can't get them by just me being me, then I'm going to turn to Nick and engage with Nick. And sometimes people get jealous if people are having fun on stage and they're not a part. And so then they join in finally.
Sure.
I've only ever had that happen once, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. So they were more interested in their drinks and who they were going home with than me at that point, and that was okay.
Now, of course, you have a director by the name of the great Daryl Nitz handling the show this year, and he's going to be bringing some of his insight into it. Tell us what he's going to be contributing.
Oh, yes. Well, it's funny because Daryl did direct it the first time around, and in this incarnation, he is just serving. He's kind of like my mentor, and I go and I read him my jokes, and sometimes he'll look at me a little cross-eyed and be like, I don't know what world that's funny in, but let's not do those jokes. And then other times, you know, if I can make Daryl laugh, then I know I've done a good thing. So he's a really great person to kind of riff off of and I'll like say a couple jokes, and if he likes them, then I know I did good, because it's hard to make Daryl laugh when you're a super funny person and charming as Daryl is. I think it's, you know, a lot harder to make people like that laugh, who are, you know, who have great comic insight on their own. You can make them laugh, then you're doing something right. So that's definitely the role that he fills. He lets me know when I'm on the mark.
Very talented guy, certainly very important to the Chicago Cabaret Professionals, finishing up his term as the president, and they're going to be honoring him, of course, at the gala coming up. And he has been a mentor not only to you but to a lot of young people, or people who are working in the cabaret industry and the world of cabaret in Chicago. It seems very important, and you do it yourself. I mean, you're the officer in the Chicago Cabaret Professionals. I'm proud to serve on the advisory board.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you are a very sharing group of people who are willing to go out and help those people who are ready to start, and that's so very important, because that's the legacy that's going to be carried on.
Right. Without Daryl, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't know Joan. I wouldn't be a part of CCP if I hadn't met Daryl. And it's the idea that I joined the Chicago Cabaret Professionals, and I started going to all of their, you know, they have events for members all the time. They have open mic nights and things like that where you can meet and greet other members. And it's really that networking that CCP provides that gave me, you know, put Daryl in my life and enabled me to say, hey, I want you to help me. And the thing about Chicago Cabaret Professionals as an organization, it really is about, you know, giving to the next person, you know, because it's funny, because in Joan's show, Joan Curta, who just did a Cole Porter show, she said that she went out to dinner with someone and said, oh, cabaret, that's a dead art form. And it kind of like broke my heart when she said it, and Joan was very heartbroken by it too. But it's kind of like, it's organization like ours in this city, and there's others in across the nation that are trying to keep this art form alive. And with people like Daryl being able to pass on what he know and what someone had taught him and pass it on to me, and I'm going to pass it on to the next person, you know? And I just think it's a really important piece of keeping all kinds of art forms alive and enabling them to grow and change. And cabaret is no different. And I'm really, really a very proud member of the Chicago Cabaret Professionals. And it's an honor, an absolute honor to serve on the board of directors. And I wouldn't have it any other way, because as much as I can give back, I want to, because this art form is so important and so vital and so different than going to see musical theater, or, you know, even just going to see jazz, which I love jazz too, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such an important, so important to have this legacy and to have people like who come after me to know who Andrea is and to know who Daryl are, you know, just to know the names of the greats that have come before, and to continue to grow this art form for generations to come.
Well, it's true, and you have to continue that, because I'll tell you a little story. I had a very talented man on my show a couple weeks ago, and I began to tell the people in the station who I was having on, and I was kind of excited about it, because he was a very talented musical artist and very well-known at a certain time, and certainly best-selling, platinum-winning, Grammy Award-winning performer. But nobody knew him of a certain age, and that was Herb Alpert.
and
you know, Herb and I had a very nice conversation, but younger people, they don't know who he is. And they were kind of, who's Herb Alpert? Well, that's because that hasn't been kind of passed on. That's unfortunate. That's too bad. And,
but you see, it's so important, you
yeah.
know? It's very important. Like, people should know who he is.
Right. Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about the show.
Sure.
Lucky Star, what will we be singing?
We're singing all of her greats, and yes, I've added a whole bunch of new stuff from all the new albums, because, you know, I did it 5 years ago, and 5 years ago, Confessions on the Dance Floor wasn't out, Hard Candy wasn't out, MDNA, that's right, in 5 years, what have I been doing? Madonna put out 3 albums and went on 2 tours. you will hear, you know, Lucky Star, obviously, it's the title of the show. You'll hear Borderline, Papa Don't Preach, Cherish, What It Feels Like for a Girl, which is a really beautiful song, which was on her Ray of Light album, that a lot of people, you know, it's the thing about Madonna is her lyrics, and she writes all of her stuff, and I think a lot of people don't know that she does, that she writes her music. And some of her lyrics get lost in her dance beats and her overproduced, you know,
mm-hmm.
very pop-oriented music. And when
yeah.
it's stripped down, you can really see okay, she's a really good songwriter. You take away the, you know, oomph of the dance beat, you can really hear what she's trying to say. And a lot of the songs are just beautiful. We do the entire Erotica album in 4 minutes and 21 seconds.
Oh.
From the whole album in 4 minutes and 21
That's
seconds.
That's really stripped down.
It's her least selling album of all time and my personal favorite. So, so we do it all very quickly, just to get through it very quickly. And then, of course, you know, favorites like Vogue and trying to think of my set list as I sit here. You know, Don't Tell Me and, you know, and Hung Up from Confessions on a Dance Floor and I'm a Sinner from MD&A. So there's a lot of new stuff. And, yeah, all in an hour. And I assure you it can be done.
It'll be a great evening with the indefatigable Melissa Young.
Which you taught me how to spell that word. You expand my vocabulary every time I speak with you.
What are you doing for Madonna's birthday this year? Well, you're going to go see Melissa Young. That's what you're going to be doing. It's been 4 years since Melissa Young performed her infamous Madonna show in the city of Chicago. Lucky star, Madonna 55, a birthday tribute starring Melissa Young, returns to Chicago. Young performs the music of America's most original artist, Madonna. Over 20 of Madonna's songs spanning her 30-year career get a musical makeover August 15th, 16th, which happens to be Madonna's birthday, and 17th at 8 o'clock, Davenport's Cabaret, 1383 North Milwaukee. Doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 8. For information, 773-278-1830, or go to the website, davenportspianobar.com. On the line with us right now, the very talented Melissa Young, and let's give everyone your website, because it's a wonderful website.
Oh, thank you very much. It's www.melissayoung.com.
All the information about some of the things you've done, the shows you've been performed in, and so forth, and it'll be a lot of fun on the 15th, 16th, 17th, kiddo, and we'll look forward to seeing you, and anything else we can do to get the word out, you know we're happy to do that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Continue success. Thanks, Missy.
Thank you.
Bye, honey. Melissa Young, very talented young lady, and certainly one of the integral stars and parts of the Chicago Cabaret Professionals, but a great show, and she does such a terrific job on stage, so full of energy and excitement and enthusiasm. Davenport's, August 15th, 16th, and 17th, Lucky Star, Madonna at 55 and Beyond, a birthday celebration, 1383 North Milwaukee. For information, 773-278-1830. Always fun chatting with Melissa. Well, that about does it for our show today. Thank you for sharing this last hour with me, and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially, I thank Andrea Marcovici, who will be at Davenport's Cabaret, 1383 North Milwaukee, Wednesday, July 31st through August 5th. For information, 773-278-1830. Melissa Young, who also will be at Davenport's August 15th, 16th, and 17th with her Lucky Star Madonna 55 birthday show, 8 o'clock. Again, information, 773-278-1830. And Jonathan Sanford, the producer of Cirque Shanghai, in this year's show Dragon's Thunder at the Navy Pier Skyline Stage through Labor Day. For information, 800-745-3000. Finally, famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day. How do you not run out of new things to say? If we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart each time you hear. Now or never, the more I love, the more that I'm afraid.
In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever.